with God and the Word now before us, let us look to the Lord in prayer. O gracious, loving Father, we come again to Thee, and in Thy providence, and according to Thy sovereign will, Thy Lord has brought each one of us here today. And Lord, while others are unable to be with us this morning, we know, Lord, that Thou then must have a word for us today. It must be a word in season. And so, our gracious Father, we pray that we might hear that word. Lord, it might come to us from the Lord with power and with great conviction. Lord, come now and bless us and give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive Thy truth. For we ask these things in the Savior's name and for His eternal glory. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. And the verse of Scripture we'd like us to consider this morning is verse 20. John 11 and verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. It was a home which the Savior had often visited. That home was located in the city of Bethany. And it was the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. These two sisters and their brother always had a place in their home for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 21, verse 17. We read about the Lord Jesus going to Bethany and there lodging overnight. And while their home is not mentioned, in all probability, Christ lodged in the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. But even though this home always had a welcome for Christ, and they had, these two sisters and brother, had a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that did not mean that they were guaranteed exemption from trouble and sorrow. Because even the dearest saints and those most in love with Christ may expect from time to time to suffer trouble and sorrow and disappointment. So it was with Mary and with Martha. Because trouble came to their home, that home that was situated on the Mount of Olives, the day that Lazarus, their brother, fell sick. And the sickness indeed was serious. And the immediate reaction of Martha and Mary was to inform their friend, their Savior, their companion, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And this teaches us that we ought to pray for the sick. As James has reminded us, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Prayer indeed was offered up to the Lord on behalf of Lazarus. But lo and behold, Lazarus was not healed of his sickness. Instead, we read about the death of Lazarus. There in verse 11, these things said he. And after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. We notice there that the Lord Jesus is always aware of the death of his saints. No one informed the Lord of the death of Lazarus, but the Lord Jesus was aware of it. And wherever his saints fall, anywhere in the world, at any time, the Lord Jesus is aware of their home calling. There's not a sparrow falls to the ground that our Heavenly Father doesn't know about it. And there's not one of his saints falls that the Lord Jesus doesn't know about it. And so here were the two sisters that had prayed to the Lord for their brother Lazarus. And it would appear that their prayer was not answered. For Lazarus, their brother, succumbed to the sickness. And so the Lord Jesus informed his disciples. In verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And the Lord then went on to say, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there. The Lord said that he was glad that he was not there. I wonder what our friend Benny Hinn would have to say about this situation. I wonder what other so-called faith healers would have to say. Oh, Mary and Martha prayed for their brother in his hour of need and in his sickness. Yet Lazarus was not healed from his sickness. And I know what they would say. They would say, oh, Mary and Martha didn't have enough faith. The thing is, faith on this occasion had nothing to do with it. Because the Lord Jesus made it very clear that the sickness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sickness of Lazarus, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, was to the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby, verse 4. And here was a sickness that was to the glory of God. And here was a death that would turn out to the glory of God. And oh, believer, what a wonderful attitude to have whenever sickness and death comes to our homes. To look upon that sickness and pray, Lord, may thy name be glorified in this sickness. And whenever the Lord is pleased to take a loved one home, may we pray, Lord, may thy name be glorified in this death. Because here Christ was glorified in sickness and in the death of Lazarus. But the Lord Jesus had been informed. Not only do we see here the death of Lazarus, we see the delay of the Lord. After having been told about the sickness of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus delayed his coming to Bethany. Indeed, when Lazarus died, he said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Mary and Martha wanted him there. But when the Lord was told about the sickness of Lazarus, he stayed a further 2 days where he was. What a situation this was, for prayer had been offered, but it appeared there had been no answer. The Lord was summoned by the two distressed sisters. Instead, the Lord delayed his coming. A set of circumstances. which might have generated bitterness and resentment in the hearts of Martha and Mary. For this is not a new thing. For I have known believers, I have known Christians become very bitter towards the Lord and very resentful because the Lord did not raise up, say, a family member from their bed of sickness. Because the Lord did not answer prayer in the way that they wanted Him to. Some have had their faith sorely tested when the friend they've been praying for was taken away instead of been raised up. So how would Martha and Mary respond to this situation? How would they respond to the Lord's delay? How would they respond to the death of their beloved brother Lazarus? Today we want to focus our attention on Martha and how she responded. And when we look at Martha, in this set of circumstances, we see the devotion of a lady. For you see, the name Martha means lady. And here we see the devotion of a lady. For Martha most certainly played the part of a lady in this situation. Instead of becoming bitter and resentful and critical, Martha showed her devotion to Jesus Christ. And when we look at Martha, oh, there may be many things in Martha's life that we may point a critical finger at. But one thing stands out, as far as I am concerned, in this woman's life is her true devotion to Jesus Christ. Likewise, we may point an accusing finger at Peter and see the faults and the failings in Peter's life. But there's one thing we cannot argue against and we cannot deny. Peter was devoted to his Lord. Likewise, Martha was devoted to her Savior. And when the Lord delayed his coming, and when her brother Lazarus died, and indeed she had to go and attend his funeral, he'd lain in the grave for 4 days. Martha's devotion to Jesus Christ shone through, shone brightly. And I want this morning to look at true devotion to Christ as it is seen in the life of Martha. I want us first of all to note Martha and her coming to Christ. For we read in our text, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Her dear brother Lazarus had been dead and buried now 4 days. Very often it is the days after the death of a loved one that proved to be the most difficult. And friends and family, loved ones have come to the home to sympathize, but they can't stay there all the time. They have their own responsibilities. They must return to their own home. We find here that it was the 4th day after the death of Lazarus that Jesus Christ appeared. Isn't that just like the Savior? The Lord Jesus always comes at the right time. He came at the right time on this occasion. As far as Martha was concerned, now upon hearing about the Lord's appearance and his coming towards Bethany, Martha went immediately out to meet Christ. This she did because, one, Martha had a heart for Christ. Martha was not going to allow the delay of her Lord and the death of her brother to come between her and her Savior. And I know believers, and they have allowed a lot less to come between them and their Savior. They've allowed a lot less to mar their fellowship and communion with their Lord and friend. And whatever the Lord Jesus allowed to take place, Martha still had a heart for Christ. And even though the Lord delayed his coming, Martha still had a heart for her Savior. And even though her brother had been allowed to die, Martha still had a heart for Christ. This is seen in this woman's life. And she had a heart for Christ when we look at her welcome. Martha always had a welcome for the Lord. We know that in Luke chapter 10. A very familiar passage of Scripture and familiar verses. For we read in verse 39 of Luke 10, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." She received him into her house. She received him, as we pointed out in the past, even as Zacchaeus received Christ. It's the same word that is used. And how Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus, we're told that he received him joyfully. That's how Martha received Jesus Christ into her home. She received him joyfully. She had a heart for Jesus Christ. This is the action of a woman who has a heart for Christ. She is like the bride in the Song of Solomon, who said to her bridegroom, "Let my beloved come into this garden and eat his pleasant fruits." The one who has a heart for Christ will always welcome Christ's visits. They welcome his company. They welcome his companionship. They welcome his communion. They welcome his visits. When you have a heart for Jesus Christ, I tell you, you welcome his visits. You welcome his visits in times of sorrow. You welcome his visits in times of suffering. You welcome his visits in your times of solitude. Oh, you welcome the visit of Christ in such times of need. Because we have a heart for Christ, we have a welcome for Christ. Martha had many visits in her home, visitors in her home that day. But she looked for Christ above all others. We're told that. Verse 19, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." But then it says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him." She wanted to meet him. She wanted to see him. She had all those Jewish friends in her home, but oh, she wanted to see Jesus more than anyone else. And does that not tell us she had a heart for Christ? No, dear child of God, let us pray that God will give us such a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in sickness we will pray, "Give me Jesus." So that in our sorrow we will pray, "Give me Jesus." So that in our solitude we will pray, "Give me Jesus." And in our poverty, and in our disappointments, in our defeats, the cry, the prayer will ever be the same, "Give me Jesus." For whenever we find ourselves in these situations and such circumstances, if we have a heart for Jesus Christ, we'll want Christ more than anyone else at such times of need. Martha had a heart for Christ. We see it in her welcome. And we see it in her work. Much has been made of the Lord's rebuking of Martha because she was cumbered about much serving, and rightly so, of course, because Mary had chosen the better part. Mary had helped to serve as well, but Mary knew that she had to leave her service. She had to take time to sit. Martha forgot about that. Martha was so taken up with her serving that she neglected to sit at the feet of Jesus. But nevertheless, we should not overlook the fact that she was serving and wanted to serve. She wanted to serve. Why? Because she had a heart for Christ. That's why. We see her there in Luke 10. She's welcomed the Savior into the home. And we see there in Martha a woman who really couldn't do enough for the Lord Jesus. That's why she was cumbered about much serving. Couldn't do enough. And I tell you, believer, when you have a heart for Jesus Christ, you want to do all you can for Him. You'll not be able to do enough for Christ when you have a heart for Christ. There's one thing that I love about Martha. In Luke 10, the Lord Jesus rebuked her. Gently, of course. Told her she was cumbered about with much serving. You know, that would have been enough to put off a lesser mortal from ever serving the Lord again. Many a believer has had to be rebuked or corrected. Ministers had to go over and put his arm around that saint and had a word in their ear and said, "Something you're doing, it's not right." And they've taken umbrage of that. They've said to themselves, "All right, I'm not going to lift my hand ever to do anything again." They walked away in a huff. But this is something that shows us something of the spiritual caliber of this woman, Martha. Because when you get to chapter 12 of John, there's a great family reunion. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He's sitting there at the table. Martha's there, and Mary's there, and the disciples are there. And best of all, the Savior is there. And what's Martha doing? What is Martha doing? What she does best. Verse 2, John 12, "And they made him a supper, and Martha served." That's what I like about this one. She didn't take umbrage at what the Lord said. She accepted the rebuke. She acknowledged her mistake. And she went on serving. She got on with the job. Why did she do that? Because Martha had a heart for Christ. That's why. And I tell you, dear child of God, if you have a heart for Jesus Christ, then nothing will stand in your way. You'll want to go on serving. Martha wanted to go on serving. She accepted the word of correction from her master. We find her then serving again. Martha shows us that she had a heart for Christ. In her welcome, and in her work. And we see that heart for Christ in her wanting. As we can see from verse 19 of our reading, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha and her sister Mary had many friends. Many of the Jews were there. But in spite of that, in spite of all those friends, in spite of all those neighbors who had come into the home, who did Martha want more than anyone? Christ. She had a want in her heart. She had a hunger in her soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted the Savior more than anyone else. She had in that home with her her friends. She had in that home with her her family. Mary was there. And that home in Bethany, I am led to believe from verse 1 of chapter 11, was well known. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. He's Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Many others lived in Bethany, but it's called the town of Martha and Mary. Lazarus is called Lazarus of Bethany. This house was well known. And yet, even though Martha had family, even though she had friends, and even though that house was well known, she had fame, if you like, Martha wanted Christ more than anyone else. And so it is. When a Christian, when a believer has a heart for Christ, he will want Christ more than anyone else. He will want Christ more than family, more than friends, more than fame, more than fortune. He'll want Christ. And his constant song will be, take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile when throughout my pilgrim journey light will cheer me all the while. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord, I see. Like that hymn written by Sonny J. Crosby, to cross the swelling tide, and to see all her loved ones. She said in that hymn, but I long to see my Savior most of all. Sonny J. Crosby had a heart for Christ. I want to see Christ most of all. Martha wanted to see Christ most of all. That's why when she heard of his coming, she jumped up and went out of the house to meet him. Couldn't wait to meet him. The fact that Martha had a heart for Christ can be seen also in her weeping. It had possibly been more than 4 days since Martha and Mary had first informed the Lord of the sickness of her brother, of their brother. Since then Lazarus had died and was buried. But still, Martha waited for her Savior. See what I mean? See what I mean about true devotion to Jesus Christ? There have been the disappointments, there have been the deaths, there have been the delay. And yet we find Martha still waiting for the arrival of her Savior. Prayer had not been answered in the way she expected, but still she waited for Christ. Lazarus had not been cured of a sickness, but still she waited for Christ. Her brother had not been saved from death, but still she waited for Christ. She had had to bury him, contrary to her desire, but still she waited for Christ. Here, surely, we have an example of a woman who's truly devoted to Jesus Christ and who has a heart for Christ. And when the Lord delays his answers to our prayers, if we have a heart for Christ, we will still be found waiting for that answer. In ourselves, I am finished with waiting. Not Martha. Martha was still waiting. Still waiting for her Lord. Dear child of God, with a heart for Jesus Christ, we will trust Him implicitly. We will depend on Him completely. We will lean on Him fully. And even if He delays His coming as far as we are concerned, and even if He denies us an answer to our prayers, if we have a heart for Christ, we'll still be found with Him. Like the psalmist, we will commit our way unto the Lord. We will trust also in Him, because we know He shall surely bring it. I notice that not only did she have a heart for Christ, but I see also her haste in going to Christ. We notice that upon hearing that Christ was coming, we're told Martha went and met Him. Martha was quick to respond to the news of Christ coming. This surely shows us that Martha was expecting His visit. Is there not spirit of expectancy here with Martha? Even though the Lord had delayed His coming to Bethany, still Martha continued to await His arrival. Surely this is the sign of true devotion. Martha knew her Lord would not fail her. He would come. She expected Him to come. She knew He would not let her down. She knew He would not fail her. She knew He would not forget about her. She knew He would come. Sooner or later, He would come. And she expected Him to come. As we've already said, sometimes we pray about a matter and when the answer doesn't come, we give up waiting. We've asked the Lord for the salvation of a friend. But when that friend continues on in his or her sin, then we give up waiting. Really don't expect then the Lord to answer. We don't expect the Lord to come. We've been waiting for a visitation from the Lord here in our church. He has delayed His coming. We have sampled the mercy drops here and there. We've had the little encouragements along the way. We've had the tokens for good, but we've been praying for a visitation from God, his delay is coming. Does that mean we give up waiting? Does that mean we no longer expect him to come? We no longer expect his visit? Dear child of God, though it tarry, we can say, though he tarry, wait for him. He will surely come. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. And so let us expect his visit. Let us expect the Lord to visit our church one of these days. And when we get news of his coming, when there is the stirring of the Lord's visitation, let us be ready then to make haste to meet him. When he comes, then like Martha, let us respond with haste. As Matthew Henry puts it, when God by his grace or providence is coming towards us in ways of mercy and comfort, we should go forth by faith, hope, and prayer to meet him. Spurgeon expressed the same sentiment. When there was a bit of a, or more of a stir in this church, at a certain time God was really working, and he said to his congregation, at this time, with the going in the top of the mulberry trees, we need to have more prayer meetings. We need to have more preaching. We need to have more witnessing. We need to have more street preaching. In other words, Spurgeon was saying, when God comes and visits us, we need to rise up and go out and meet him. We need to meet him. We need to make haste. And I tell you, if you have a heart for Christ, you'll make haste. You'll want to meet him. You'll be so looking forward to his visit, you'll run to meet him. I see this in Martha's coming to Christ. True devotion of this woman, Martha, is also seen in her hope. Her hope was in Christ. While all seemed to be hopeless, the coming of Christ brought hope to Martha. And so she went and met him. Had she thought everything was beyond hope, she would not have been so ready to respond to the news of his coming. But she knew that where Christ was, there was always hope. She knew that Christ's coming and hope was coming. And that's why she ran to meet him. And believer, when everything seems to be lost and the situation seems to be hopeless, that is when Jesus comes. That's when he came to Martha and Mary. And when he comes to us in such times, let us run to meet him, because he is our hope. Let us say with Norman J. Clayton, my hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sins at Calvary. Dear child of God, while Christ is on his throne, there is hope. He is the God of hope. He is the Savior of the hopeless. He can rescue us from any situation. Paul found himself in many desperate situations. Shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. And one of those occasions when he was in prison, this is what he wrote. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He was in prison, facing death. He would only have one more letter to write under inspiration, and yet he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as my hope. So let us, whenever we're down, be able to say, Christ is my hope. When we're defeated, be able to say, Christ is my hope. When they're depressed, be able to say, Christ is my hope. When we're desperate, be able to say, Christ is my hope. And when we're dying, we'll be able to say, Christ is my hope. Thank God for this woman, Martha. Martha and her coming to Christ. We haven't time to pursue the rest of the message fully, but you've Martha comforted by Christ. How was she comforted? She found comfort in the power of Christ. For verse 21 and 22, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, as thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She believed in the power of Christ. And she took comfort from that. While she said, Lord, as thou hadst been here, she believed that the Lord had been there, that the Lord had power to save Lazarus from death. Her faith didn't go just as far as to believe that the Lord could have healed Lazarus without being there. But nevertheless, she believed that whatever Christ asked of God, God would give it. She found comfort in the power of Christ. Do we not find comfort in the power of Christ? That He's able to change whatever situation we find ourselves in. She found comfort in the promise of Christ. For verse 23, Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. There was hope there. My brother shall rise again. She found comfort in the person of Christ. There she was thinking about death and burial and graves and grave clothes with regard to her brother Lazarus. And yet Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. She found hope and comfort in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the fifth of the seven I Am's found in John. And the Lord Jesus revealed Himself as the great I Am to individuals in their time of great need. To the hungry, in John 6, He's the bread of life. There's hope for the hungry in Jesus Christ because He's the bread of life. To those in darkness, John 8:12, He's the light of the world. There's hope. There's comfort in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. To those who are outside of heaven, Christ is the door to heaven. There's hope and there's comfort in that. To the sinner, like the sheep that have gone astray, Christ is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There's comfort in Jesus Christ, the shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. There's comfort for them that are lost. For Jesus says, I am the way. There's comfort for them who are barren and fruitless in their life, because Jesus says, I am the true vine. And there's comfort for those who are facing death. Christ says, I am the resurrection. our hope and comfort is in the person of Christ. And you have Martha's confession of Christ. And what a confession it was. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. That was her personal confession. I believe. It was a powerful confession. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Her devotion brought her right to the person of Jesus Christ, where she was able to say, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Oh, may the Lord bless us with such devotion that whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, we'll be able to say, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we do thank Thee for the example that Martha has set before us. We do thank Thee, Lord, for her devotion to her Savior. And Lord, like ourselves, there were many flaws in her character and in her behavior, but her devotion to Jesus Christ shone through. May our devotion shine through. Lord, bless this word to hearts today. Encourage us in the Lord. May we be like David and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. Permit us, Lord, to come to the house of God tonight. Put that desire in our hearts to be here tonight, even as Martha had that desire to be where Jesus was. Lord, answer prayer and undertake for us today, and all are going out and coming in. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.